I would have to say today's psalm is perhaps one of my favorite, although I may end up saying that every Sunday in Lent about each of the psalms. I mean, asking me my favorite psalm is a bit like asking me my favorite type of pie. It's really whichever is right in front of me at the moment. But this is a particularly powerful, poignant, and I think very indicative psalm in the book of Psalms. The great thing about psalms, I was saying this last week, which is why this year we're letting them guide us in Lent, is they are brutally honest about the human condition, ups and downs of life. And in that sense, this psalm may be the most psalm-like in the entire book of Psalms. It's one of the reasons I was glad to be able to read it in its entirety. And I hope you notice the way this psalm goes back and forth from lows to highs, from the depths of despair and anguish to the heights of praise and thanksgiving. The roller coaster ride of this psalm. I hope you may have also noticed this psalm is particularly good for Lent because there are many references in this psalm that tie directly to the passion of Christ, the crucifixion story. You may have noticed there's a reference to, they have taken my clothes and throw lots for them, just as the guards do for Jesus' possessions there at the cross. You may have heard the reference in the psalm to, they have pierced my hands and my feet. There's a few others in there. But of course, most famously or infamously is the very first verse of this psalm, which according to Matthew and Mark is what Jesus cries out from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is a cry of despair, abandonment, even doubt, perhaps. But let me also suggest this is a cry of faith. It's interesting, the psalm doesn't begin with a declaration, God, you have abandoned me. Notice it's a question directed at God. And not just at God, but at my God. The very question of despair is also a statement of faith. My God, the God I know is mine, why have you forsaken me? And the question itself directed at God. It's a statement of faith as well as of despair. And the whole psalm is like this, up and down. The psalm says, I've been abandoned. I feel abandoned. Don't know where God is. Day or night, I cry out and I feel like I'm not getting an answer. Yet, the yets in this psalm are crucial. In fact, there's a lot of great yets in Scripture that turn things around. Someday I'm going to do a series of sermons on the yets and the buts in sermon and their importance. So notice, this cry of despair, yet the psalmist says, you are the God of Israel. You are the God of my ancestors, and you always delivered them. I don't feel you right now, but I know you are the God who has always been with my ancestors. People are mocking me, insulting me, gathered around me. Yet, you are the God who knew me at my mother's breast, who knew me in my mother's womb. You hear this back and forth, this almost struggle between despair, abandonment, and yet holding on to faith throughout it. In fact, this psalm, I think, reminds us of the great truth, which is despair and doubt are not the opposite of faith. They are part of the journey of faith. And despair and doubt are not the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is indifference. I mean, the mere fact we have a psalm all about questions directed at God, even complaints directed at God, means there's still faith. The opposite of faith would be, I'm not even going to bother talking to God anymore. I just don't care. That's the opposite of faith. But the psalm reminds us despair, doubt, agony, those are part of faith. And notice as well, the writer of the psalm doesn't even have necessarily much faith, just holding on, you know, by the fingertips almost. And yet, that's enough. This psalm, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me, ends with the declaration that's going to be given to posterity in the future. He has done it. Almost the polar opposite from how it begins. Why have you forsaken me? But by the end, God has done it and will continue to do it. That's faith. True faith is crying out to the God that we can't even feel nearby. I feel like God is nowhere near, but I still cry out to God. That's faith. And even in the midst of suffering, despair, and this psalm, I believe, no matter what you may be experiencing in your life or have experienced, some of the descriptions in this psalm are so powerfully, poignantly beautiful and real. I feel like I'm poured out, my bones out of joint, my heart like wax. You ever felt like that? I think that addresses physical pain and suffering. I think it addresses mental pain and suffering. I come from a family, one side of depression. I know I have that inclination in me, and that can feel like I'm poured out, stretched thin, but also spiritual abandonment, frustration, despair. All of that is wrapped up in these descriptions in this psalm. No matter what you may be experiencing or have experienced in your life or will experience, yet the psalm reminds us, hang on. And let me go back again to the fact that Jesus references the first verse of this psalm. No matter what you may experience in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever, God knows it and has experienced it. I mean, one of the truly amazing things about Jesus quoting this psalm to me is it means Jesus himself knows what it feels like to feel abandoned by God. In fact, let me make it even more paradoxical. God knows the feeling of being abandoned by God. Chew on that one for a while this afternoon. Wherever we go or whatever we experience, even to the depths like the writer of this psalm, God has been there, God knows it, and God is with us whether we feel God there or not. This psalm is a reminder to us to never lose faith, even if the faith we have remaining is the tiniest, smallest, most minuscule mustard seed faith. This psalm reminds us that's enough. And it can make all the difference. Amen.